He hasn't his whole
Once
life.
Once he sheds the velvet, when it'll get weird.
Yeah, but he usually still sticks around up there for a couple weeks.
But that just seems like that's always what...
That's it, and then
gets
he leaves.
Start rutting, man, and then things change.
Yep.
And what's weird about, like, my farm, Hampton, is I don't have any bucks on it. None.
Yeah.
But once these deer start shedding velvet and start doing rut stuff, then they'll start showing up at my place.
Yep.
So, you know, it's just weird.
I've got a few that hang around all year, but they're always there when I'm not. You know, it always works out. The day they're coming through, I'm gone.
Ozark Traditions in the great outdoors.
Welcome to Ozark Traditions TV podcast, a place where outdoor topics are discussed. Now sit back as today's host brings you the outdoors inside.
Ozark Traditions in the great outdoors.
All right, guys, welcome back to another one. I'm TJ. I'm here with Matt. Justin's going to be on a little later, but we've got my little brother over here to my right. You guys can't see him, but he's here. If you could smell through this thing, you'd be able to smell him.
Trenton.
He even dressed up. He wore his welding shirt. It's got holes in it and all kinds of stuff.
Always looking good. Always.
It doesn't matter, though. It's a podcast. I told him that's the only reason we let him come on here. They don't have to look at him.
Yep, that's right.
He sounds like he looks good.
Yeah.
But we rode in on his new whip and the geo tracker with the top down. Didn't have a back seat, so I have one of them mossy oak turkey chairs. We just throwed that in there. And we didn't have far to go for all you people worried about me. But
we ain't worried.
We made it. We're getting real scary close to deer season here in Missouri now. We got about what? Trust me, I'm counting the days down. I think about 3 weeks.
Is it?
Right at it, I think.
Pretty much.
It's like
September 15th is about.
Is it the 15th when it starts?
I think, yeah. The last I looked, unless they changed it. Maybe it's the first. Maybe they change it to the first over there where I'm at.
You could only wish.
I mean, it could be. No, it's 15th. But archery season is going to open up here in the MO and on the 15th, so which I think it opens quite a bit of places on the 15th. I think a lot of the southern... I know Kentucky and all that's fixing to open like the first because they got their velvet season, but...
Yeah, they get to do all kinds of cool stuff.
Which early. Word on the street is, I heard from an anonymous source, Justin Hampton, that they were talking about maybe doing like a velvet season here in Missouri because of the CWD and all the bucks are bunched up together.
Where's he getting this hashtag
fake news?
He
had a dream, which we'll have him on here later. We'll ask him about it, but I think he had a dream about it.
Huh. And, I haven't.
Because, buddy, if they could just go ahead and get that implied like next week, that'd be great for me. I mean, it'd be awesome. I've got pictures of probably the biggest deer that I've ever seen and that I've ever had, hunted on the property that this deer is on. That's what I guess I'm trying to say. Like, I've seen pictures of bigger deer, but I've never been able to hunt nowhere close to where they're at. And, but it's a funny story about this deer, kind of why I wanted Trenton to come in here tonight. I started hunting this farm about 4 years ago, and the first year I hunted it, we had a couple nice bucks.
Lots of nice bucks
on this farm. And one of the younger bucks up in the top stand, we called it the corner stand. It was right in the corner of the property up at the top. And I got a trail camera picture of him in the summer, and he was a really red-colored deer. So I just called him Red. I don't know. It just kind of whatever.
Rolled off the tongue nicely.
Yeah, and he was at that time, I think he was a 3.5-year-old 10-pointer. But he was, narrow. Had some really nice brow tines.
Had good tine length, but just kind of narrow.
Just narrow, you know, just a really nice buck.
Shot him, just saying.
I took old Stick Flinger himself up there to hunt a buck that we called the Broken-Eared 8, which yep. We just watched the video. We still have that footage. I'll have to get it to Matt.
Still sickening.
Of Trenton missing that deer. So he goes up there, and he misses that buck, like opening night. I went up there and hunted with him, filmed him. With the old DSLR, footage is terrible, but it's there.
It was pretty dark, if I remember right, wasn't it?
It wasn't dark. It was just dark. The camera arm I was using.
Oh,
I think it was made out of PVC pipe or something.
Michael J. Fox built it. Get you.
Right. Yeah.
A little shaky.
It was pretty bad, you know.
Forgive me.
Yeah. We're just going to blow over that one. That was kind of ugly. But anyway, so we're watching it. He misses this deer, which I can't believe he missed a deer on camera.
It's an old family tradition.
Yeah. 26 yards. Imagine that.
23 for me. Anyways, like a couple days later, me and you were hunting, I think, that big old bladed buck that I was hunting. And Trenton
sat through a rainstorm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tornado.
He went up and sat in that stand again. Well, here comes Red. And I was like, Trenton, there's another buck up there that, you know, you can shoot him. He's a pretty nice deer. It was not that deer. It was a different one.
Right.
And
short G2 10 pointer.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And Trenton's like, I shot him. He said he come in late, you know, but I could tell. He said, I shot him. He's like, man, but I think I was a little far forward, he said. So me and Matt go up there. Well, he shoulder shot this deer, clear and obvious.
Yeah.
There was just little bitty specks of blood.
We tracked him good ways.
200, 300 yards, found the arrow. It had about an inch and a half of penetration.
Funny story. That's why I don't shoot expandables anymore.
And,
you know.
So we never thought nothing of it. Well, it turns out it ended up being Red that he shoulder shot that year.
Yeah, because he wasn't 100% sure of what deer he shot. He's like, I don't know. He's like, it was a good one. He's like, I just shot him.
A 10 pointer.
Yeah, he said it was a 10 pointer. So, you know, I didn't see that deer the rest of the year, and that's pretty much how I figured out it was him, because he was up there every single day and then just vanished. Well, that whole year went on. I don't remember. I shot that old gnarly buck that year.
Yeah.
I don't know what you – did you kill anything out there?
I shot that 10 – no, that was the next year.
Yeah.
I shot double
anyways,
that year.
Yeah, that was a good year for us, and before we joined up with the Ozark Traditions TV team – back when we killed stuff.
Yeah.
And,
we didn't miss him.
So the next year, I got pictures of him again. And he was a little bigger, you know. And I was like, man, that's a really, that's old Red, you know. And I said, he's a nice buck. At that time, he was probably in the 130 range, I would say. Had big old brow tines. So I knew it was him. And I thought, well, that's a nice deer. But then I got pictures of what I call the bladed buck again, because I never killed him.
And Muley.
So we went back to hunting the horseshoe field, which is the year that I missed that 10-pointer opening day, which is a deer that we wasn't even hunting up there. He just showed up, which is funny because it turns out to be the drop-time deer that I hunted all last year.
Right. Was that the one that was on film?
Yeah, that was actually the flyer buck, and you got his sheds and everything.
I've got two or three years of sheds from him. But anyways, so I kind of blew him off. I blew Red off. I never hunted up there
He just kind of fell off the radar, really.
Yeah, well, and he didn't stay up there like – he'd be up there for like the very first part of the deer season, and then he'd disappear. So I just, you know, I never hunted him. I hunted rifle season up there, but I never seen him, but I only set one day. Well, anyways, that year goes on. I didn't kill a buck with my bow that year. I shot that little buck with my rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And then
same stand, wasn't it?
No, this is when me and Matt walked up on that one.
Oh, yeah.
And then last year, or the year before last, so we're getting into year three of me hunting this farm. Once again, I got pictures of Red. Now, he's a little bigger, but he's not a, you know, he's probably a mid-130s type buck, you know. And this is a, I'm going to say this deer is a 4.5-year-old at this time. And once again, I blew him. I got pictures of the big old 10-pointer with the drop tine. So I blew him off again, and I hunted that 10-pointer with the drop tine last year and had... Or that was the year before. So, no, I didn't have. I don't remember. I was hunting somewhere else anyways. And then last year I got pictures of him, and I was like, boy, that's a really nice deer. Because he was in the probably mid-140s at that point.
Right. Really good brows.
Really awesome brow tines, which he's always had that. And I thought, man, maybe I should hunt that deer. And I was actually thinking about doing it. And then I got pictures of the 10-pointer with a drop tine. Well, I was just like, well.
Yeah.
Screw that. You know, I'm going to hunt the drop tine deer.
Everybody wants to kill one with drop tine.
Yeah. So I blew him off again. And I'm down there hunting that buck last year and, you know, 100 encounters with him and never killed him. And this year rolls around. And I've got my heart set on that 10-pointer with the drop tine. I put a food plot up there. I've put everything in on the complete other end of the farm. Well, one night, I'm driving around looking for deer like I always do. And I see a deer up on, from the road, there's a big ridge side over here, a big field, and kind of where that red buck was living at. And I see a deer. And I was like, boy, that looks like a big buck. Well, I had my video camera with me. Now, of course, this thing's 800 yards, 1,000 yards away. I zoom in, try to film it. And I filmed it, and I was like, man, that's a big deer. Well, I got back home, and I'm watching it on the laptop. And I'm like, boy, that thing almost looked like it had a drop tine. I was like, I must be, you know, I'm seeing stuff. I send it to Matt, and Matt's like, oh, yeah, right there, man. It does got a drop tine. And me and him are both assuming. I'm like, well, that 10-pointer, I was like, he's not as wide this year, you know. He got real narrow, or it got narrower or something, not right. Which is crazy that I'm saying this, because if you guys seen the trail camera pictures of this deer, you would be like, how did you not see what this deer was?
Long ways away.
Long ways away. And I'm like, well, I tell you what, Matt. I was like, I'm going to go put a trail camera up there. Because he was out there every night. And I said, I'll try to get pictures of him. And we'll figure out who it is. So I take a trail camera up there, put it up there that night. I got pictures of this deer. And very quickly, thanks to Matt, realizing it's not the 10-pointer. The drop time's plumb on the other side. And we got to looking at it a little bit. Matt's like, man, look at the brown tines. And I'm like, I know who it is. It's red. Now, guys, we're all going to sit here, and you can say that what you want. Trail camera pictures will make them look giant. I get it. You know, infrared pictures, velvet pictures, they always make them look huge. You know, if I show this picture to a lot of people, most of your people are going to think this deer's 170, 180 inches big. You know, some people probably go crazier than that, because when I say this deer's got a drop tine, it's a solid 8-inch drop tine. I mean, it's...
it's a good one.
He's got a brow tine on that same side. It's a triple brow tine. I mean, it's got three brow
points,
tines.
Yeah.
I would say this deer, my guess, is probably getting scary close to the 160 range, you know. And he's my number one focus. I mean, the deer's been showing up every day at some point. A lot at night. Last night, he didn't get there till like 8:15. 8:25, something like that. So just right after dark, he showed up, but it was a little warmer. The day before, I had a picture of him like 7. So he's my main focus this year, guys. If this deer is just, it's impressed. For where me and Matt and...
and he really from last year to this year blew up.
Plumb up. I mean, the thing got huge. And we're thinking because the shoulder shot that Trenton put on him is probably where the drop tine come from, because it's the opposite side of where he shot him, and that's the rumor is that when a deer gets injured like that, that's what happens. So, anyways, that's where my sole focus is on this buck this year. I'm going to have to do it early because he doesn't stick around for the rut. I mean, I don't know. I know where he goes, but it's on the neighbors, and I can't hunt over there. And luckily, nobody else really hunts it. So, and obviously, the deer's pretty smart. He's made it this long. I mean, he got away from Trenton once, but... right. As far as I know, that's the only person that's ever really shot at him. Now, I had a chance 2 years ago. I walked up on him, and I messed it all up trying to sneak on him. And I think I drew back in my release. I hit my release and shot the arrow like 10 feet out in the field or something stupid, you know. But
at least I hit the deer, just saying.
Right, yeah. Trenton's like, at least I drew blood, man.
Yeah. But that's what my – so I guess today what I kind of brought – I thought maybe we'd talk about, which we've been talking about, is just an early season strategy. You know, everybody has like ideas, and you know, some states down south you can bait them, which, boy, I wish it was up here too, you know, because I know some people are like, you know, that's cheating. Nah, buddy, when any advantage I can get to kill a deer like that, I'd take it. So, so, you know, this deer has obviously just been, he's coming out into this field. He's been doing it for 4 or 5 years now. He always shows up in that top corner. And that's where I've actually started to get pictures of him again. He likes it up there because a south wind is actually absolutely terrible for that spot. Well, early season here in Missouri, your winds are almost always somewhat out of the south.
Well, and so for him, what makes that spot, I think, so appealing.
Yeah, it's the best wind he could
have. Right. We get a lot of south winds early season. Yep. He can bed up there. There's some big, thick briar patches, mm-hmm, and a grown-up field. and he can just kind of pop around the edges of that. Well, he's not he's not far from that pond.
He's not walking 150, 200 yards to go out into this field. And then he just, and like you said, there's a pond in that field that's probably another 200 yards. So 400 or 500 yards is as far as he'd ever have to go from his bed.
Right, for anything he could want.
And when you when it's up on top of a big old hill. I mean, when you're standing on top of this hill, he can see for a quarter of a mile.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't sneak up on nothing, you know. But out in the middle of the field is an island of trees. And I've got a camera there. I put the Hodag licking branch over there. I'm hoping to get him kind of coming down there looking at that. But I've also got a camera up at that top corner. For whatever reason, that deer's always up there. He's been up there his whole life since I've started. The very first pictures I got of him was there, and I got a picture of him there last night.
It's like he lives there or something.
It's almost like he lives there.
It's weird.
It is weird, isn't it?
And you know another thing?
He ain't got no mailbox up or nothing.
No, man. No address, anything.
No.
So that's probably where we're going to end up hunting that deer.
That's why he got so big.
And I've right. got I got a little heartbroken today. We stopped and talked to the farmer, and right now he doesn't have any cows up there. So the deer's been coming out into the field. And I talked to him, and I said, so, you know, do you think you'll keep the cows down in the other field? How long do you think, you know? And he goes, I'll keep them down there for a while. He said, you'll probably be all right. I probably won't put them up there for another 3 weeks. Which,
by my numbers,
that's when deer season opens up here in Missouri. So I'm going to pray to God he meant 4.5, 5 weeks. At least give me a couple days to go up there and try to kill that deer. But the good thing is the corner that I'm talking about is on the other side of the fence. The cows can't get in there. And I'm hoping and praying that that's probably where we're going to have to hunt this deer at. I think the island is going to probably just be out of the picture. And the reason I say that, too, is it's across the field. So even if he comes out into the field, he's probably not just going to run over there.
Right.
Because he's coming out in the field 20 minutes before dark. So you got to... It's just, and the deer's never going to do anything. He's never going to come in there with the wind right for you. That's something else I've learned with these big mature deer. Everybody's always worried about the wind, which way it's, he ain't never going to show up if it's not blowing towards somewhere for him.
Right. You're going to have to split hairs with him.
So, I mean, I'm probably actually going to put a double set on top of the hill where I first seen him coming out. And then I'm probably going to have a set in that corner. And, I'm just going to have to shake the dice and roll them. I mean, we're just going to have to get in there and hunt him and hope to God he don't smell us. I mean, that's just, I know it's aggressive, but here's the thing, guys. This deer doesn't stay. You know, if I thought I had a chance to maybe kill him during the rut or something right. like that, I probably wouldn't be so aggressive. But this deer absolutely leaves this farm around October. The yeah. first end of September, October, he's gone. You'll not see him until the next year. And so... I'm just going to go all in on it, you know? I mean, he's a giant buck. For here in this part of Missouri, he's a mega giant buck. You know, I know a lot of people.
Well, he's got, I think, that triple brow tine's probably 12 inches.
Yeah. Like I said, I think he's 160, high 150 class deer. And I know there's guys in Iowa and stuff, they're like, you know. Yeah. Guys, if you've seen a picture of this deer, I don't know anybody that wouldn't shoot that deer.
Trenton, I'd shoot a 130. How about you?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I grew up hunting public land, so right. if it's got horns. Right.
Well, we all did.
We're throwing bullets at
it. And it still comes out of me every once in a while. I mean, Matt was rifle hunting with me a couple of years ago, and we walk up on a deer, and I'm like, oh, yeah, good. And Matt's like, He's like, you going to shoot it? I was like, yeah, you want it? Oh, no, here, let me get the camera out of the bag. He's like, then I shoot it, and I walk up there. I'm like, boy, he ain't that big, is he? And he goes, I didn't think so either, but, man, you were fired up. I was like, yeah, whatever, you know.
Hey, I ain't going to tell nobody not to shoot one.
They all got back straps.
I guarantee it.
But, so that's how, that's what, it's a promising season.
I'm interested to see that big, super wide 10-pointer you got pictures of.
I really wish he would show, so I had the old
We're going to have to name him Bullwinkle, because it looks like his tines are about 2.5 inches tall. But this thing is just super wide, kind
of
goofy looking.
I got one picture of him. It's kind of a creepy picture because he was way off, and it's just a silhouette. But he's like, I mean, this deer looks like he's 2 foot wide.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of reminds me of the 8-pointer you shot a couple years ago, honestly.
But he has no tine length, guys. When I'm telling you, this deer's...
little short, stubby brow tines. I mean,
yeah. Like his G2s are maybe 6.5, 7 inches long.
Yeah, which I've killed some deer like that, so.
But he's another deer that... and that's something I was telling Matt, you know. I'm strong in my mind.
He's not that strong.
But I'm not that strong. So when we're sitting up there waiting on this red deer.
Well, no. All right. So the other night we're cruising the roads and he's like, I mean it this year. He's like, that deer red. He's like, I'm all in on him. And I said, well, you know, I mean, unless he's like, well, no, I mean, like if that big wide 10 pointer comes up or something, he said,
it's tough, folks. It's just
the hillbilly comes out in all of us from time to time.
It's rough, but right now, my main focus for at least the first week of deer season is going to be on that deer. And I know I'm probably going to drive people nuts about how aggressive I'm going to be on this deer right out the gate. But like I said, he don't stay around, so it's either now or never.
Shoot, maybe.
No shoot, no maybe.
Right.
I mean, I've gotten so confident. I've been practicing at like 40 and 50 yards.
Yeah.
Because it's just a big old field up right there. I mean, it's not like I'm...
It may not be close.
I may have to try to... And I'm pretty... I got a new bow to me. Thanks to my buddy Kyle Lampkins, I got a Matthews no cam. And I've been shooting it. And I like the way the bow shoots. It shoots good for me. I ordered some new arrows. I bought some new broadheads. Like, I'm...
Expandables.
Well, because I'm... Here's the deal, guys.
That's bad history. That deer.
I bought the G5 Mega Meats, and I've watched 1,050,000 reviews on them, and they've all been pretty good on the G5.
Yeah,
because they're a rear deployant. They're not a. Everybody knows how G5's always had a good reputation of having a good broadhead. I bought those, and the only reason I wanted to go with something like that was I was just talking about. I may have to shoot this deer at 40, 50 yards. I'm a muzzy man to the core. But, boys, when you start getting past 35, 40 yards, them things start doing some stuff that's just not real accurate. You know what I mean? And any fixed blade broadhead, anybody will tell you that. I don't know, boys. I got video proof of you two trying to shoot 40 yards, and all we did was look for arrows.
Yeah.
So
that was a field point.
Yeah, that's field
points. So imagine, oh, the broadheads are going to get more accurate.
I'm just saying they're not going to get less accurate.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyways, I know that a fixed blade broadhead is not the most accurate thing in the world after a long distance.
Yeah.
And I'm praying to God I can shoot this deer at 12 yards.
Right.
Actually, 20. At 12 is too close.
How about 23?
No, 20.
You sit right there in my wheelhouse.
I don't do 23. 23 is a cursed number. If he's at 23, I'm not shooting him. We're going to have to let him get farther or closer.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. If I'll be blessed to get that deer within 30 yards, I think. But that's the plan. I mean, I got it all figured out. You know, none of it's going to happen, but you got to have that plan. So I'll probably end up shooting something totally different if I'm lucky I hit the shooting thing. Because, like, we were just looking at pictures, and the old gnarly buck I killed that year, I was getting pictures of that deer on a complete other end of the farm from where I killed him. All summer long, he was over kind of like where the red was at on that end of the farm.
He was with red.
And I shot that deer a mile down on the other end of this place. It was down in this big old steep, nasty, bully booger bottom. And it's where I killed the deer at. And so you don't ever know. And like a deer like that I know will live on the farm, it wouldn't bother me to not get aggressive on him. But it's like I said, this red deer, he don't live there. He's just kind of on the edge. But luckily, the landowner next to me has started to do a little bit of brush hogging some of them old fields that I think he was bedding in. They've been doing some cleaning fence rows out, and I think a little bit of that has got him kind of living on the where I hunt at. Not giving no names. I about dropped it right there. Where I hunt at a little more, pushing him that way a little more.
Right.
So, but that's my plan. Trenton's got him a new place to hunt this year, out in that one place.
To get in place.
He's got a couple nice bucks showing up that he's going to try to get on opening day.
Yeah, but when you say nice, like high 120s, not good. 160s.
Nice. Good. Nice deer.
Nice deer.
I mean, let's be honest.
I'd shoot them. Just saying.
If we had a competition on who can get the best trail camera pictures, guys, you probably couldn't beat me. But when it comes to killing deer, I'm right there with you guys. Like, I mean, I can get pictures of them all day, you know, but because I've got pictures.
We it's were almost like him. He works for like a National Geography or whatever.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Like, pictures, man. You got it.
Oh, buddy, every summer. I just drive Matt nuts because every summer we're just sitting here checking trail cameras out where I hunt, and there's...
Yeah, Matt, how many deer you got show up?
Well, so the other night there was a doe. There was doe up there.
You had the one buck show up.
Yeah, yeah. What about your big spike?
No, he had a...
I had an actual
fork-horned deer.
But yeah, it's pretty, pretty slim.
And the crazy thing is Matt's farm's not 2 miles from where I hunt.
Well, 1 year, didn't you guys get the picture of the same deer on both places?
Yeah, that was Austin.
Austin had a picture of a deer that...
It was a 10-pointer that my cousin Michael, his little boy, shot him. And he was just a little 10-pointer. He was probably, I don't know, 4.5-year-old deer. He wasn't real big. And he's like, oh, I got pictures of that deer. And I was like, nah, probably not, you know. And he's like, no, yesterday I got pictures of him. And he sent me the pictures of it, and I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So and now, you know, crossed the highway. And
now, this was middle of the rut. So, but was, that deer
it was,
probably.
It was the youth season or whatever, yeah.
And I think we figured it up. It was almost 4.5, 5 miles. From where the day that deer traveled that night, because he shot him that morning, right?
He killed him Sunday morning, and he'd been coming into my food plot like every morning. I'm like, yeah, he'll shoot him, you know, or he'll kill him. He's like, yeah, buck never come in or whatever. And I was like, that's weird. He's been like clockwork.
Right.
Every day coming into that food plot. I was like, well, I just, you know, stick it out. And then they hunted that evening, didn't see him. And I was like, well, you can do whatever you want the next day or whatever. He's like, well, I think we're just going to go back to food plot. Well, he shot him that morning and he came in.
Yeah.
Well, he'd went on a little walkabout, I guess. Or got on a hot doe, maybe. I don't know.
Right.
But I don't know. It's crazy. It's crazy that how close we are and how different the two farms are.
Yeah, my farm, the bucks don't seem to summer there.
Well, and the crazy thing about Danny's is I've gotten like 8 doe pictures.
Yeah.
Now, Matt, you can go out into his fields of an evening, usually, and there'll be 15, 20 does out there. But Danny's, it's like every picture you get of a deer is a buck.
Yeah.
Now, it may not all be a big buck, but it's a buck.
Right.
And I said his name.
It's all right.
Whatever. I don't care. Anyways, it's just, I don't know. But I can't kill any of them. That's the thing. But I can't complain. Last year, I should have had that buck. I mean, last year, the 10-pointer, I should have killed that deer 2 or 3 times.
Yeah. I know a guy who'd kill them does.
I'm going to leave.
Yeah. Just saying.
Hey, I posted a deal the other day. Like, it's time to make shooting does fun again. Like,
give me one night. That's all I need.
Which, I'd like to get everybody wrangled up this year and take them up to that palm to tear deal. If we can ever get some downtime, take Matt and all them, because you can camp right there. It's easy access. Now, there's not no great big bucks up there. And it's public land, but it's core property. So you can film on it and all that good stuff. But it's a pretty neat deal. And it'd be fun to get back to the deer camp thing again. And
good old days.
Does David Seibert have a bow?
Yeah, I think he does. I don't know if he knows how to shoot it, but he's got a bow.
I know. It'd be cool if he'd come with us.
Me and Jess was talking about the other night doing like just buying, you know, just a slick head tag and all of us going to public ground trying to kill one.
Just to do something fun again. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously my main focus is going to be on trying to kill that buck right now. So until that happens, we're just not doing nothing.
Never did deer camp.
What? You never have?
Oh, man. I
never did do it.
Oh, man. That's
you ain't lived till you burnt your eyebrows off with white. So,
he's like, you ain't lived till you've puked in your Uncle Dave's backpack.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to take us a quick break and we'll get Hampton on here, and that's what we'll talk about. We'll bring up some old deer camps. Now that little brother's here, he might know one or two that he can tell on me with, but it was always a blast. So we'll take us a little break here, guys, and we'll come right back.
Hi folks, this is Matt Smith of Ozark Traditions TV. I hope you are enjoying this OTTV podcast. When you're not listening to the team members discuss hunting strategies and telling stories, you can go to our YouTube channel and watch your favorite episodes there. And while you're on the web, head on over to our Facebook page and give us a like. Thanks for listening to this week's OTTV podcast. Hunting with my family.
Who could ask for more? All right, guys, welcome back. We scrounged up Hampton on the phone here. We got him. He's not working too hard now. He's got time for us, so
he's probably been working all week.
He's been riding around out in the desert, from what I've seen on the Facebook post.
I've been scouting elk.
Scouting elk. Hey, that's all right with me. I already told you find us a spot. Then you told me that they won't give me a tag, but whatever.
They're out here.
Oh yeah, that's New Mexico. That's like elk capital of the world.
Hunting with the pickup.
Yeah.
I've seen probably, I don't know, maybe 75 since I've been out here.
Dang.
Yeah. Two big old herds in the bottom.
That's impressive.
Yep.
So Hampton, before we took the break here, we were getting ready to tear into the deer camp stories. We was going to start telling some deer camp stories because it seems like it's, you know, deer season's coming on here and everybody always loves talking about deer camp stories.
So first and foremost, though, have you ever been involved in a deer camp?
A long time ago.
Because Matt Smith informed us.
He ain't never done it. I'm telling you what, guys. When we were growing up, we hunted public land because we didn't have anything else to hunt. And, you know, I can remember when I was younger, I just couldn't wait till I wish we had private land. I wish, you know, this sucks, you know, like blah, blah, blah. And now I've got an 1,100 acre farm that I can hunt. And it's like, man, I kind of miss like the public land part right. to it. Like, I guess
I miss getting set up and be like, man, this looks a good spot. And some old boy come walking down through there.
I don't really miss
Oh, hey, how you doing? Oh, I was doing good till you walk by.
I don't really miss that part of it.
Right. Nobody misses that part. But
I miss the.
It was the people he's with.
Right. I miss the everybody getting together.
Your grandpa, your uncles, yep. you know.
And it's like Trenton said, in them times, if somebody killed a deer, it was like, holy cow. Yeah. And if somebody ever shot a buck.
Yeah, this one's got handles.
Whenever I was a kid, I'll tell one real quick, but my grandpa, well, he didn't even kill it. All right, my dad killed this doe, but grandpa tagged it. Don't tell the game warden.
Yeah. We've never done
that. He put that in the trunk of his four-door Caprice, and he drove that thing all over St. Robert, showing everybody, look how deer I killed. And I remember sitting in there, you know, no car seat, just in the front there, throwed in there like a sack of taters.
Yeah.
And, Grandpa, you didn't kill that dad, did. But he was proud as a peacock, killed a deer, you know, and that was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was more like a family reunion for us when we had a deer camp.
Yeah.
We had aunt and uncles come in from like Kansas City and Illinois and all that. We all went to one spot.
Yeah, it was the deer camp thing was about the camping part and we always ate good.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah.
You know, you always if you got lucky to kill a deer, it was like couldn't get the back straps out of it.
Well,
quick enough.
My aunt Amy'd always make deer chili.
Yeah,
always had a great big fire. You know, just...
Well, and like us, we never had anything. We had an old camper. My grandpa had an old Prowler camper.
Yeah.
And obviously, the places we'd go didn't have no electric or nothing. You just used propane lanterns in the propane stove. And the first couple years we went, we was tent camping. One year, I'll never forget, and I know my dad won't. Me and Trenton, we talked dad into going up on a late season hunt. It was like last couple weeks of deer season, like January.
Yeah.
We had some deer tags left over. And we're like, Dad, come on, you know, let's go up there and we'll kill these does. It's going to be hammering them crop fields. We'll just go up there and try to kill this couple does, finish off our tags. And so Dad's like, all right, fine. He's like, well, what are we going to camp? I said, oh, we'll just take a tent. You know, we got a buddy here. You know, we'll be all right. We got up there.
So I take it Grandpa Jim did not go.
No,
on that one.
Okay. No,
tent, buddy
granted,
here.
This was Missouri, too, right, in January.
Yeah, yeah. Grandpa said, no, I think I'm going to sit this one out. Smart man.
Right.
We get up there, and we hunt. And I don't remember, I think we killed a couple deer, maybe. I don't remember on the deer killing thing. But the first night, we're laying in the tent. And the buddy heater runs out of... I didn't account for those don't last all night.
Yeah.
So about midnight, it's 19 degrees outside. Mm-hmm. The heater quit. And, well, I'm hanging tight. Like, I'm all right. I'm laying there, and I'm almost asleep. And I heard the truck fire up. And I look
7-3 right in the middle of deer.
Yeah, like, there's just, and there's other people there. And I'm like, what in the world? And I look around. I'm the only one in this tent.
The heat was nice.
Dad and Trenton went and got in the truck. So I climb in the back seat of the truck. Dad's like,
never again.
Never again. He said, never again. He's like, first thing in the morning, you're picking this tent up. We're going home. So we went deer hunting that morning, though, and we come back. Dad made us all go home, and I don't remember if we killed a deer or not. I feel like we might have shot something.
I for y'all's sake, I hope you did, but I got a strange feeling you probably did.
Probably didn't.
Probably.
And I'm not too sure.
Well worth it.
I'm not too sure that's not the last time we got him to go on a deer camp.
Right.
That wasn't in a camper.
That's how you break somebody in. Right,
because we got him to go to Palm de Terre on the early season.
Yeah, but that was in summertime, and
that's when we had your Taj Mahal camper.
Yeah,
the old
fifth wheel. Yeah,
that's right. Grandpa and Dad took their camper, and they brought the boat. I think they did more crappie fishing than they did deer hunting.
But it was still cool.
See,
yeah,
I never had to rough it at deer camp because there was always a house within a couple of miles of where everybody.
Nah, that's not deer camp.
I tell you what,
so I went to the house.
I can't remember. I think they were made by Dodge. But do you know what a Travco motorhome is, Matt Smith?
It seems like I know what I know.
We're talking old here. That's
it probably was Dodge.
I think Dodge made them. They were a Travco.
We're talking old
here. I mean, I'm talking, buddy, this thing was either late 50s or early 60s.
Nice.
At the newest.
Mint.
And that's we had the old Travco.
Yeah.
And... All right.
Yo,
because I heard this line more than once. She was posi track. It'd practically go anywhere.
Yeah.
And we'd take her off into the woods.
Yeah.
For deer camp. But yeah. It was pretty nice, but
it was all and we got so many good stories from deer camp. We used to hunt mule shoe all the time. And this was just right before I got married. Like it was not that long ago. We're talking 7 years ago.
Right there.
Oh, yeah.
Same color, boy. She was tan and brown. Real nice. Real, real nice.
That's a nice
had brown,
buddy.
Brown carpet.
Kind of looks like the Winnebago.
Yeah, the old shagging wagon. That's
but the back of them was like real rounded, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But
guys, this thing kind of looks like the mystery machine.
It was.
But it's a camper.
It was aerodynamic.
Says it's the granddaddy of the motorhome.
And I don't doubt
that's what
it'd go anywhere. Time,
it was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
since it's posi track, it'll go anywhere.
Practically go anywhere. Dad would say.
1958.
I told you, Dad, don't be making fun of those. Yeah, we're not. It was a real deal.
And that sucker, it was aerodynamic in reverse. Even Hampton.
You get out here in the western part of the world where I'm at.
Yeah,
them are still home.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I got a buddy who lives in a van out in Moab.
Down by the river.
I swear.
But we'd go to Mule Shoe all the time. And this was not that terrible long ago. And we'd kill a lot of deer down there. We did kill a lot of deer at Mule Shoe. But one time we was down there, and when you cut your finger off, cut your hand off. Trenton had to go home.
Yeah.
So sometimes the memories was like, you remember that time
here.
You chopped your finger off? Yeah, which I'm not going to talk no slack on that because.
He said, well, I've been there.
Luckily, I was at the house when I did that.
Yeah, I had to drive an hour and a half cooking.
I'll tell you one funny deer camp story when we was going to Palmy. Me and Dad, I talked him into sitting with me one afternoon or one morning. We snuck in there before daylight. And we're sitting there in the dark on this log, and I heard something coming through the brush. And I thought, oh, man, there's a deer. It's dark, you know. Deer's going to walk up on us. Well, it gets close. Well, then I hear another one coming from the other way. I'm like, man, they're just all around us. Well, and then about that time, you hear, like, this growling noise. I'm like, what in the world? Buddy, They is 25 feet from us, and there was two coons that got in a fight. And they tore down trees. My dad's like...
He said it was a full-blown altercation.
Oh, like grizzly bears. You don't realize how mean they are until you're 20, and you can't see them. There's brush hitting you and, like, rocks
flinging. Hey, I've been trapping. I know how mean they are.
Yeah.
Buddy, these things was killing each other. I mean, they was knocking trees down and stuff, and Dad's like, we ain't going to see nothing. He's like, this is insane. And he's got an arrow out, like, ready to poke something. I mean, they were close. Well, it gets daylight, and it just looked like somebody just tore the woods down.
Right.
And it was so weird hunting over there at Palmy because you're sitting there. I remember the first time I took you up there. And you're texting me, and you're like, dude, what are we doing here? Like, he's like, I just had a women's jogging team.
Well, I'm just like, all right, jump out of the woods. Y'all got me.
Yeah. Okay. Like, Matt's like, ha ha, he hee. You talked to me.
Where's the truck at?
Right.
And I'm like, no, man. I was like, just wait. I said, give it till about 30, 45 minutes before dark. And he's like, whatever, man. Like, what are you? And I'm telling you guys, it's like somebody flips a switch. These deer, they just...
Well, they're so used to people. They don't care. It was wild.
And you're shooting these deer 25 yards from the truck. I mean, you can park right there, walk in the woods.
The coolest part for me, though, was like you'd hunt like 10 o'clock, not see nothing, walk back, full-blown camo, and these people are on vacation.
Well, yeah, we're camping.
We're just walking through the middle of the campground.
We're camping in this campground.
You know, bows in our hands. People are just staring you down like, what in the world are these people doing?
Well, and the camp host guy's like, he'd come by and he's like, okay, guys, if there's nobody here, he's like, I don't care. You can hang your deer up and clean them and stuff, you know.
In the camping spots.
Right. Because he was a bow hunter, too. Crossbow hunter.
Yeah.
But shots fired. Shots fired.
It's the first time that one shot.
Yeah. But he's like, now, but if there's a bunch of people in camp, he's like, can you guys just like clean them in the back of your truck or something or take them somewhere? You know, he said, there's an old road down over there. He's like, you can take them and hang them in a tree. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Because it was the early season, so you had to clean them then. You
quick, yeah.
But, Trenton, one day, he set up. There was this little island out in the middle of this, right up against the dam. And there was always two or three does that come out of it every night. Well, he'd had enough of it, you know. He's like, I'm going to go kill one of them deer.
Now, when he says little island, he means like 30 yards by 30 yards.
Yeah, it's just a little bitty patch of woods.
Brush.
But these does was bedding right in the middle of it. So you snuck in there. Did you hunt on the ground?
No, I was in a tree stand.
Got in a tree stand. And I guess, I'll let you tell it. I wasn't there. I just heard about it.
Yeah, I was sitting there, and I was watching these does. They come out, and they's working down the edge, that little field right there. I'm like, oh, cool. So I'm getting ready to get set up, you know. Well, then I see the park ranger, the guy that runs the camp there. You know, he's in his little...
The camp host. Yeah. He wasn't a park ranger.
Yeah. Well, he's the manager, whatever.
He's the guy on the golf cart.
Hey, he was in charge, all right? Yeah,
that's all I know is he's in charge. But anyways, he's
shirt
in his little...
had his name on it and everything.
He's in his little Jimmy rig, you know. And I see him stop, and I'm like, oh, man, he's going to booger these deer off. Well, about that time, I see a luminaut come flying through the woods, Messy's deer stuck in the tree right next to me, and I'm not lying a bit. And he just rolls his window up, just right down the road he goes. Like,
dang it, I missed.
No big deal.
Said missed again.
Like,
dang.
Wow,
it's a wild deal. Trenton's like, I just got shot at, and I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, the camp post just shot at me. And I was like, what are you doing? He's like, well, I'm sitting in my tree stand. He's like, there's a deer. I was like, well, you know, he missed, whatever.
Man's
like,
got to eat, too.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't
mad at him.
Right.
I said, hey, we got beef on him now. We kill a deer, he's going to drive that golf cart in there and get it.
Yeah.
We didn't see nothing, but here's the deal.
Yeah.
We're going to need assistance. Which, that was another cool thing about the place, is there was a gravel path that went through the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, if, you know, we'd always take a deer cart, and it never was. If you hunted in the very middle of it, you were 300 yards from a truck.
I mean, I was going to say, I think the whole property was like 300 acres.
Yeah, it was. It was
that you could hunt right there.
Yeah, and it was pretty much flat. I mean, the back corner where me and you kind of hunted got a little bit
hilly, but it wasn't bad.
For the most part, it was what I'd call flat, you know. And it had like one food plot down there.
Down by the river.
Yeah. Nobody ever hunted that.
Mm-mm. I always hunted where they packed it, where they kept their gravel at.
Yeah.
That's where
right
Matt.
That's where I had the kids. I was in this ground blind, and we brushed it in like we was.
Oh, buddy.
Like Charlie taught us, you know. And I'm posted up in there, and these little boys are riding their bicycles around, and I mean close, like less than 5 yards. And they're just, they'd ride their bicycle by, and I'm like, man, I ought to growl at them or something, you know.
But, well, Matt texts me a picture of me. He's like, I got these. I was like, dude, you got to scare the crap out of it. You got to like growl or something. He's like, I just can't. He's like, they're little kids. He's,
I was like, they'll wreck your bicycle, and I'll feel bad, and there I'll be, you know.
Because I asked him, I said, you seen any deer? He goes, I might if these guys get out of here, and they're just... There was a big mound of gravel.
And they'd ride up and down. I'd have done the same thing. So I was like, well, I ain't going to run them off.
Right. But we ended up killing some deer up there.
Yeah, we even got Jesse to go with us once.
Yeah, and he got a tick on him, and he quit going.
Yeah, he got more than one. But
I remember I was walking out one day, and there's a power line there. And I looked down it, and there was like 25 turkeys standing in it. They're like 65 yards from me. And I'm like, man, I'd like to kill one of them turkeys, you know, for camp meat. Well, I just aimed high and shot in amongst them. And I killed one. I mean, stone dead. I had to shot it in the head or something. I don't even remember. It killed it deader than a hammer. I was just in the... I just fuck shot him, you know? I just...
Thank God he was shooting expandables.
No. Yeah. I don't remember what I was shooting. Some, who knows? Probably
Chinese
some,
rage. Hey,
something he found at a bow shoot.
Yeah, at that time,
somebody gave him.
Yeah, at that time, who knows what it was. It probably wasn't nothing special. I probably didn't even have the same three arrows in a quiver, you know?
Back then, I remember the first bow shoot we went and shot. TJ's walking out through the woods. He's like, oh, there's a good insert. There's a good knock. And I'm like, what are you doing, man?
Hey, you don't never
He's
know.
He's like, parts.
You got to rebuild stuff, man. Which I've grown up a little bit. I'm shooting the Maxima Reds this year. We'll see how they work out.
I know. Just because they come with it.
Yeah, well, I ordered another half dozen. I got a full dozen now.
Justin said, who makes them?
Who? Carbon Express makes them. Yeah. They're like the top of the line of the Carbon Express arrows is the Maxima, which they're the weight-forward. They're pretty nice rig.
I figured the experience you have, you'd be shooting full metal jackets or something.
No, that's Trenton.
That's what Trenton shoots.
Yeah.
No, I'm changing.
Nope. No, stay tuned.
Yeah, I just ordered them today. I got the Ted Nugent.
Oh, jeez.
Who makes
gold tips?
Oh, yeah.
Gold tip, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, I just ordered them today.
Dude, if I ever got cool like you guys, I'd probably still shoot the deer crossing ones.
Well,
which ones did you get?
I got the white zebra ones.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cat scratch fever, baby.
On my phone today, they're at work, you know, working hard.
Yeah.
And I seen Ted Nugent Live come across there, so I watched him for a while. And I was like, man, he used to shoot some really cool arrows.
No, he has his own arrows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he's also got a 12-arrow
right
quiver.
There, bottom.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say.
Yeah, that's hard to find. You can't. Custom made.
Oh, you can get them.
Them are,
who?
Them are gold tips, ain't they?
Yeah, they're
that?
Gold tip.
Yeah, they're gold tip.
I don't know who makes his quiver. I know he shoots a Matthews.
Matthews makes one.
A 12-arrow quiver. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're cheap.
Yeah.
They're probably $200 for a quiver.
If you're shooting gold tip Ted Nugent arrows, I don't want to hear, oh, it costs too much money.
Well, there's $85. So.
For a six-pack?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see you might know a dozen. I think I paid $100 for the six-pack of the Maxima Reds.
Hampton, what are you shooting those deer crossing ones still?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I still got 24 of them left.
Well, they're dang good arrow. There's
yeah,
nothing.
That's
like,
what
honestly,
I've got.
Honestly, guys.
Well,
if,
see, here, I'll tell you what I like about it. I like the stiffness of it. If you take your arrow and you take one of them and you bend it a little, I think you'll get less bend out of the deer crossing than you will the other one.
Yeah. I don't know. I know for the money, though, for the, you know, everyday deer hunter, for $125, $130, you can get a dozen of these things.
Oh, less
well,
than that.
I mean, that's if you get fancy with it. Like, that's it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think if you get, you know, no frills, I think you can get them for like the hunter arrows, a dozen of them for like $80.
Yeah.
I think I got one set, I think for $105, and I had to find a four fletch, all that good stuff for like $100 and some bucks.
So, have you noticed anything different with the four fletches? See, what I've been...
Sir,
go ahead.
It depends. I'm shooting a three fletch this year because that's what I tune my bow with. But the four fletch is a little bit less wobbly, let's say. Like, if you just throw something on it, to me, it don't seem like it wobbles as much without it being tuned in.
Yeah. See, what I'm thinking about doing is taking mine that I've got the 2-inch blazers on right now. I'd really like to put a 3-inch vane on my arrows.
Shoot feathers.
The feathers are fine, but...
Get the flu feathers, or what do they call them?
No, I ain't doing that.
Just remember the fob.
The little plastic thing.
Yep, the little circle.
I never did shoot them. I've seen videos.
I've seen guys shoot them, but they look.
Is it even still around? I wonder.
I don't know. I'd say that didn't last.
You don't remember it.
The little plastic round thing.
A circle. It was round, and then actually, if it hit a deer, then it just popped back off. It'd come off.
Yeah.
You never. They fob, look like fob. A little.
Have you ever seen the toxic broadheads?
Yeah,
that's what it looked like almost.
Huh? Yeah. No, weird. I didn't.
That toxic broadhead deal didn't work out either.
No.
Chuck Adams must not have shot them
because back in the day, no. if Chuck didn't shoot it, I didn't shoot it.
4-inch feathers.
Yeah.
Speaking of fletching, there's a company and I can't think of the name. It just goes on the. You know, you take your fletching off or order them bare. It just slides over the shaft and you stick them in some boiling water.
It's quick fletch. NAP.
Is that what it is?
Yep, NAP. Because I thought about buying some of them for mine because they've got them. They're all white, 3-inch vein. And it's just a shrink wrap. Oh, they work. I've used them before.
Yeah.
But
I've used them.
It's foolproof, man. You slide over the arrow and all it does is shrink onto your. It's pretty. A pretty easy deal, but they do work. I mean, they work just fine. Now they're probably not like the most accurate thing in the world. You know, you're probably
not.
Well, didn't they come out with like a quick spin too?
Yeah, the quick spin has the little lip on the thing that's supposed to catch it. What I was thinking about doing, and I looked at them on Amazon and stuff, was buying an Arizona quick fletch, which is the deal that folds open. You put your feathers in there. And I think they were like $50 for this thing. And then you can just buy whatever feathers you want. And it says you can do a dozen arrows in like an hour. Because it does all three of them at the same time.
Is that the one that's 3D printed?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a, it's like a deal that it slides over your arrows and then it's got these three deals that fold out and you stick the feather and then you fold it, clamp
it
on.
It's just a fletching machine is all it is.
A fletching jig is what it's called.
Right. Well, they make one. I can't think of the name of it.
There's a Chinese one on there for $25.
So what I do is whenever I get on Deer Crossing's website, I can click because I want them spine indexed.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the equipment to do that.
But here's the deal. I've already got arrows. I don't want to have to order a whole nother batch of arrows just to have different feathers on them.
And Matt, I bet you go ahead and have a cut and have inserts put in.
If you're wanting to buy a whole new dozen arrows, go to Deer Crossing, guys, honestly. And, you know, we're big supporters of Deer Crossing Archery. And I know I'm sitting here blowing and going about these arrows I just bought. But honestly, the smart thing, the only reason I bought these arrows is because the bow was already sighted in, tuned in for them arrows. They're a 350 grain arrow, which. Deer Crossing, you can get whatever you want.
Yeah.
But, and a Maxima Red is a very high end, it's a good arrow. There's, you know, it's a high end arrow.
Man,
it's
not
they're all good arrows.
I gotta say something.
They all kill deer.
I gotta say something about arrows. The 0.01 or whatever they call it, and 0.006, there ain't a damn difference between those two arrows.
No. Not nothing that a deer hunter is gonna notice.
No.
You know, if you're not a target shooter, and if you're shooting a broadhead, I don't care what you shoot, you're never going to get pinpoint accuracy like that with a broad. Maybe 20 yards you will, but after that, anytime you put a broadhead on there, it's going to be, you know, if you can keep it in a 6-inch group at 40 yards with a broadhead, I think you're shooting a damn good setup, boys.
Well, the thing is, throw in the factor of your hunting.
Well, and that's another
adrenaline,
deal.
Adrenaline.
You know, you could sit out in the yard and get the perfect form and look at your level and all that. When you're deer hunting, have you ever looked at the level when you shoot a deer?
I do.
You got a level on yours?
I will honestly say I will watch my
I've got a level on mine, boys. I'll be real honest. Every deer I've shot, I don't know if I've ever looked at the level on it.
Maybe you did. Who knows?
But like Matt said, there's so much going on right there, and you've got clothes. You can't factor in.
Right.
That's the level is the first thing I look at. When I draw it back, that level is the first thing I look at. And I tweak my hand left or right. Then I steady it. Then I come up on the shoulder.
See, that's just too much time. I mean, I just...
So my form is so perfect when I draw it.
Yeah.
Every time.
Is that what it is?
You're not a machine, boys. T-Bone will tell you. Practice. Travis Turner, I actually almost take every word the guy says to heart. Maybe he's got me fooled, hook, line, and sinker.
Maybe.
But... Awesome. He's like, there's nobody that shoots like a machine. You know, you're never going to be perfect. Nothing. You know, there's guys that are worried about what knocks in your arrow and the grain of your feathers. And you can get stupid about it, guys. I mean, you really can.
Right.
But, and like, well, like you were saying, Hampton, about the straightness of an arrow, you're talking 0.00, blah, yeah, blah, blah. Guys, if you're shooting at deer, how many guys listen to this podcast, and I wish you guys could all raise your hand, because I know there's a bunch of them. I know there's 3 or 4 in this room right now, has went to Bass Pro and bought the $35 dozen redheads.
The Carbon Furies.
And killed
you them. Betcha.
How many deer have we killed with them arrows? And there ain't no way they're... precise. They were $40 a dozen.
They're 1.00.
They were $35 a dozen. Like, yeah. They may have been better off to go buy a dowel rod, glue some feathers on it, and go out. I don't know, but they
worked.
You know,
when you're 19, 20?
Yeah, but they worked, and I killed tons of deer with them. If you slung one off through the woods, and you're like,
you didn't even look for it.
No, you're like, dang it. I lost that broadhead. Like, you know, and I didn't even have a lighted nock until 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe not even that long ago. Like, I was like, I ain't spending $25 on a knock. Like, what are you talking about? Well, now, thanks to Amazon, that's another thing we can talk about here.
I spend $25 every day now.
Buddy, I'm going to tell you right now, me and Matt's both ordered them. I've watched 300 YouTube videos on these. Get on Amazon and buy those Amazon knocks. And I ain't throwing nobody on. Or, yeah, I am. I don't even care. These guys are charging $40 for 3-pack of these, and they're exactly the same thing.
They come from the same.
Wait a minute.
No.
Time out.
They come from the same plant in China.
Yeah.
You have to remember, though, you pay for what you get.
Buddy, I've been shooting the same ones for 3 years now.
I was getting ready to say.
And they still work.
How do they work?
They're great. Like the nocturnals.
Flip it.
Get a little. If I tell you what, Matt, if I open a box of nocturnals and those, dumped them in a box and mixed them up, you'd never find out which one's different.
You said, okay, you pick through. You get the Chinese knockoffs and you get the ones.
Never figure out which one's different.
Like I said, the same company in China manufactures them.
You can buy a 12. I just ordered them. A 12-pack of them was $27.
Mm-hmm.
I just ordered some new. They should be here in a day or two.
Hey, man, I meant to talk to you about that. I'm needing to borrow a couple.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't care.
I just seen them at Walmart tonight. $30 for 3.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, no, you want to make sure you got to get the .00, the arrow size, which they make them.
Wait a minute. If you spend the extra money like in nocturnals, you can get the inserts that come with them, and you can go to all your different arrows with the same knock.
Right. Or you can just... You can literally go back on there and buy whatever ones and keep the ones you got wrong and still not spend as much money as you did on the nocturnals. And I know this because I've done it. I've bought the nocturnals, man. I fell for it. Like,
so I can honestly say I've never bought the nocturnals. I've always bought the Chinese ones. I've been on the China. I used to be able to get that same pack that you're talking about, TJ.
Yeah.
Just a few short years ago, it was $13.
For a 12-pack.
Yeah.
These ones didn't come from China. They come from... I'm pulling it up.
Oh, no, they come from China.
No, because it's like... I ordered them like 4 days ago, and they're already in Kansas City. There's no way they come from China.
Well, I mean, no, they...
Well, yeah, okay.
They were made in China. Yeah.
Distributors, wherever.
Yeah.
They probably come out of a warehouse in Mexico.
Or Michigan. You don't ever know.
Who knows? Yeah. I don't care where they come from. But they're... It just, and I'm not, here they are right here. You get a 12-piece lighted knock. They are exactly the same. And if you look right here, this is the same thickness that your deer crossing arrows, all that .244. Because I've looked at the box on mine. If you've got that, they were $16.96 for a 12-pack of them. And who, say you shoot them and they last 5 hours. I've got 11 more of them.
Right.
Pull it out, throw it away, and shoot another one. I mean, yeah. It's just...
See, that's the thing there. How long does that light last?
Well, okay, so they
well,
say
Well, I had that, one in a tree that stayed lit up for 3 weeks.
3 weeks. I was getting ready to say, that one that you shot in the tree, it stayed lit. Now, it got dimmer every day, obviously, but it right. stayed lit to where you could see it for three
TJ
weeks.
TJ never did climb up there and get
no,
that down
for me. No,
it
was way up there. And I've watched YouTube videos of guys testing them. See, nocturnal is supposed to last 40 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
They last longer than that.
They do.
Yeah.
And Nocturnal's a great knock.
Oh, yeah. All of them.
They're all
Luminox,
good knocks. The Woody knocks, all of them. They all work.
No,
they're
no,
all great.
No, whoa. It's not.
All right. That's right. Justin's not in on that. I didn't like the Nocturnal or the Luminox.
Yeah.
Because of the on and off switch deal they had. They had it on and off. And then they had the Tracer. Do you remember them? You had the little magnet you stuck on your bow, and when it went past it, shot.
Yeah, those were kind of cool.
But they didn't work all the time.
Right.
Honestly, Nocturnal has what I probably think is probably the best.
Most foolproof.
Set
but
up.
The Glory Knock's pretty good.
Glory Knock. Is that's it? Who
the
I was thinking.
I've never had one.
I said Woody Knock, I was thinking the of the Glory Knock.
Yeah.
The Woody Knock is the one that has the switch on the side, right?
Yeah.
The only problem with the Glory Knock is that switch.
Right.
Sometimes it works and sometimes
well, and
it
that's doesn't. All of them. That's all of them, boys. You shoot those nocturnal knocks in a deer two or three times, they're not going to work anymore.
Yeah, my deal is when I buy one, I'm getting it because I'm going to see it. I'm going to video it. I'm going to see it, and I'm probably not worried about it because I killed a deer.
Well, and that, like us talking
I'm not
here,
buying it to last for videos is great.
We almost have,
you know,
to shoot. Have to shoot a lighted knock because one for filming. It's just so much better for filming. And number two, you can always go back and watch where you hit
the
deer.
Well, I think it's worth it, just a peace of mind of knowing, hey, I hit the deer.
Yeah,
hey, I didn't hit the deer.
I really could care less about finding my arrow. That's not why I'm shooting.
And sometimes they're in there. It's dark. There it is laying down. It could be in the deer.
Right. Well, yeah, and you're blood trailing and say you've ran out of blood and you look up the trail and you see, well, you know he ran that way.
Well, and you've blood trailed enough deer with me. What I do is when I get on the blood trail, I'll turn a knock on, I'll stick my arrow in the ground, so
and
I can look back up
back
behind me, and I can see a direction.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, and I know guys are going to be just irking over this because of the Amazon crap.
Hate
I bought
mail.
The...
You'll have hate mail.
Who cares?
I don't care. I bought
we'll give
the knock
Trenton's
off
address.
Whenever the Rage Hypodermic first come out.
The old spoons.
No, the Hypodermic.
Oh, the better ones.
Yeah. They first come out, I got on Amazon.
The worst good one.
They had the exact same ones.
Yeah.
I ordered them. You remember, they come in the mail. Yeah. You couldn't... you could tell the difference with the broadheads.
They rattled.
They had a rattle to them.
Yeah.
But it was a simple fix, folks.
Now,
there's
this
a little Allen screw right there. You just tighten that up one crank, they stopped rattling.
Now, this is kind of my theory back then. Was those were probably all made in the same factory in China.
They stuck one in a package that said Rage.
Well, and some of them were they probably had some defects.
Yeah.
Probably
that's
very,
probably
very,
exactly
very,
what
very
it
minimal.
Was.
Well,
and then they repackaged them and sold them for half the price.
Right.
That's probably exactly what it is.
And you're out there whacking and stacking does, so who cared?
Well, and I did. I mean, I killed a lot of deer with those things.
I'd get a call like Saturday morning, like 9:30. Hey, what are you doing, man? I'm like, oh. Nothing. What are you doing? Oh, you want to help me come drag a deer? I was like,
it was every weekend because I just got. It was the first year I ever got to hunt private property. I was hunting up there at Delmer Davis's.
Yep.
And they turned me loose on that thing, and I think I killed 17 deer that year. With
you
my
did.
Bow.
You killed a pile.
But I was just shooting them, boys. I didn't care. I don't think I killed a buck though.
No, I didn't. I didn't drag no bucks. But
right. I it was all just nannies. No, but boy, it was overrun with does, and I just.
Hey, Justin, so what are you going to shoot for a knock?
Nocturnal.
Yeah. Which, they're awesome.
Me too.
That's exactly what, and anybody listening here, if you buy the Nocturnals, that's great. You know, and there's nothing.
Wonderful.
You know, they're American made, maybe, probably not.
Nah.
But you're buying them from somebody in America. I don't know. But I'm just saying, if you're an average guy and you don't want to spend...
Since we're 30. Talking about them, what color do you guys like?
Okay,
green,
so I got green. I like red, but I couldn't get the 12-pack in a red, so I had to go with green. But they
got
three different colors. You can get red, green, and blue.
always shot green just because I had green strings on my bow.
It's just, as far as on a camera, though, have you noticed a difference?
Just looking, I was just wondering. I mean, of course, when everything gets dark, everything works pretty good.
Right.
But almost, the daylight, I don't know.
Feel like in the daylight, though, I feel like a red would probably be your best bet.
Or blue.
Red.
The blue, I don't know. It kind of...
Go ahead.
Don't get white.
They make because a white?
I bought some white ones this year just to have because I needed an extra set. They're nice when it's like really, really low light, kind of like right now or a little, I don't know if it's how dark it is there at home, but
I don't know.
Right before it gets dark, it's really good for that. But other than that, red or green is what you need to shoot.
Yeah, I think in the like middle of the day or daylight stuff, I think red.
Now, Austin.
But I shoot green. That's what I bought.
Baby Austin.
Now, I'll tell you something else. Strobe is pretty nice, too.
A what?
Strobe.
Oh.
Well, that's what I was just getting ready to say was Baby Austin used to be sponsored by Luminox.
Yeah.
And he used to get these red, white, and blue strobe.
They'd, like, flash. They were actually really cool because they'd flash. And I'd say I almost bet you a $100 bill you get on there and find a flashing Luminox from Amazon. Buddy, you can buy whatever you want from that place.
You can.
I mean, honestly,
you
really
hope you get it.
Like, catfish hooks.
My whole filming set come from Amazon.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, Trenton, that's kind of another reason we got him on here. He's going
to
join the brotherhood of never killing a deer again. So,
My thing is, when I pay for it, I want to walk out with it in my hand.
Yeah, I hear
that's
you.
That's my thing.
Well, and like I said, I ordered these last week, and everything's going to come at my house all at once. The G5 Mega Meats just landed in Kansas City. I got a 6-pack of them. I bought.
Oh, G5.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't here for that part.
Oh, well, all right, here's the deal. I've got this deer that I'm going to hunt, and it's wide open field hunting, and I wanted something that I can shoot pretty accurately at 40 and 50 yards. So I went with a expandable, and I wanted to go with the best expandable I could find, and I'd done research on this. Like, I watched 300 videos of... I watched old Lusk, the guy we had on here.
Lusk Archery Adventures.
Yep. He approved them. He said they were a really good head. I watched two or three. I watched T-Bone shoot them. And they were the ones that come out on top on most of the ones I watched. Now, Rage was right there most of the time, too, the new tri-pan.
If you wasn't shooting the matches, it would be perfect about 50 yards.
Yeah, right. I got a new bow too, Hampton.
Because
he didn't even know that.
I've been shooting mine about 45 yards with the three-bladed muzzy on the practice head. It's as accurate as can be.
Yeah.
So good thing you're going to bring that new bow with you to the Marshfield shoot Saturday.
Yeah.
Who, TJ?
You.
No.
No.
No. No.
What? I'll bring a target.
I'd hate to go up there and show everybody up.
Just one target. That's all we need to shoot. The iron buck.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The iron buck.
No. But no.
It's 70 or 80 yards out there, ain't it?
I don't remember.
You shoot a Matthews, you just put on autopilot.
Just put it on kill. It's got a little switch there on the side that says kill.
Yeah.
It's audible.
I did update my bow a little bit too, Hampton. I'm not shooting the Helium this year. I went and got me a, you know, new to me, 2017 model.
17.
I got a no cam, and I've been shooting it quite a bit. I really like it.
So. I got stick and string.
Why didn't you just go get you a brand new and off the shelf?
Well, see, the way that my checking and my banking works, it didn't add up. I looked, I tried to swipe the card, and it goes, and I'm like, well.
You buy and pay later. Worry about it later.
Yeah, welcome to America.
What's he shoot?
Something. PSE.
What do you shoot, Justin?
Knock on. PSE, knock on.
Knock on.
Knock on.
The what?
I thought you shot an NXT or...
It's a knock-on model.
What's a knock on? Is it like a knockoff?
It's like a knockoff. It's from China.
It's the John Dudley model.
I don't know. He shoots a PSE. So there's that. You was looking, though. You was thinking about joining the dark side.
He's thinking about being cool.
Because he went and got three-bladed muzzies, and I thought right then and there.
I was like he's getting cool.
Which I'm sitting here talking about how I just bought. But, you know, here's my deal, guys. The three-blade muzzie's best broadhead ever made. I'm going to say it right here. It's been around. All right, how long has Muzzy been in business?
700 years. I don't know.
Since the 70s, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, Chuck Adams shot them.
Well,
how many other broadhead companies has been in business as long as Muzzy and stayed in business? Magnus and Muzzy.
But see, Muzzy did kind of go downhill when Paradigm bought them there for a while.
Says who?
I don't know, man. I think that they have not changed the design of a three-bladed Muzzy in 50 years.
I say downhill. I think they didn't market them as good as they was being marketed before.
Yeah, I don't.
What grain do you guys shoot?
100.
125.
Trenton shoots 125.
I had an old bowl guy gave me, which he just passed away here not too long ago. And I never did have anything. He just gave it. Didn't even fit right. And I remember the guy would twist the string to make it shorter. You know, he twisted it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And
it didn't shoot very hard. Loops.
Yeah.
The string was actually all a cable, and there was only about that much of an actual bow string. Yeah.
And it twisted it, and it wouldn't shoot hard enough or anything. But I went to a 75 grain, three-blade Muzzy, and that's all.
Yep.
That old thing.
And you know, I tried the MX-4s and all that, and I didn't like them as much because it was a smaller hole. See, that's the only downfall I'll say to a Muzzy broadhead is your blood trails aren't just amazing, usually.
Right.
You know, you can heart shoot a deer, and they'll bleed and all that. But like the Mega Meat, it's a 2-inch cut, 3 blades, 2-inch cut. I watched videos of Kip Campbell, Red Arrow. He hunted with him, shot a doe, the blood. And I'll give that to Rage, too. You hit one in behind the shoulder, boys, it's going to bleed like something you've never seen in your life. Trenton's killed piles of them with him, the Rage Extreme. And, Helen Keller find these deer.
Right. Ray Charles out there blood trailing.
But, you know, you get into the bones, and that's where you have a problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, I lost.
And that's
deer.
Where I really like the G5 Mega Meat, because it's got a heck of a tip on this thing. I'll have to just show you. We'll bring them to the Facebook Live and check them out. And I'm not an expandable guy. I've always shot the, but like I said, my accuracy was where I was trying to get to.
Yeah, but I'm not saying anything new that anybody doesn't know. What's the bottom line? You can kill one. You have to make a good shot on whatever you shoot.
Well, and
I think with the when that Rage come out with all this, I think it just threw things away. Oh, one was coring away. I shot it in the butt. Shot it wherever, and it bled out. People get in that mindset. Yeah.
Right. Well, that they that's can just where the 3-inch take an unethical cut shot. Well, right.
I think
shot placement needs to be number
it
one.
It needs to be number one. If you make a good shot, well,
Travis,
shot placement,
T-Bone said it the best. He said your number one thing should be accuracy. If you're shooting accurate, it doesn't matter what arrow, what grain.
I mean, field point could kill one.
Right.
He said, shooting right.
And that's why he likes the G5, because Travis, he hunts with it. He likes the Mega Meat because he said, I can shoot that thing accurately. He said, it doesn't work as good as a single bevel broadhead, like penetration, bone. He said, no. He's like, I'm sponsored by G5, and I'm going to tell you right now, like a single bevel broadhead if you're looking for penetration, if you're going to shoulder shoot deer, that's what you need to be shooting. He's like, but I can get the big cut and the accuracy with the G5 Mega Meat. He said, I can't get the bone crushing power, but he said, I have the accuracy where I shouldn't have to worry about that.
What's the cut on it?
Diameter? It's 2-inch.
Two.
So,
which is big.
Okay.
Which is big. I think a Muzzy's what? Inch and an eighth. Inch and an eighth. You know, that's not a real big cut. And that's the only downfall to it. But, you know, when you're hunting with a Muzzy like Matt, you know, you're not going to shoot over 35, 40 yards tops, because you're hunting in the timber most of the part. And usually I am.
Yeah, most places where I hunt, I mean, 35 would be stretching her way out there.
Right. So, what about you, Matt?
What's the?
What are you hunting with?
I had the thorns, you know.
Yeah,
but
I've
been everywhere. I just use what, and I'm the same way. I've shot Muzzy,
yep,
the thorn, a swack. You know, if you can Just make the good shot.
Well, that's, and that's the deal. Like a swacker.
A lot of people, I'm never going to shoot one of them. One got away. Guy told me, what are you shooting? I said, a swacker. I was just going to think somebody gave them to me or something.
Well, and a swacker broadhead boys will cut a deer damn near in half.
Yeah.
Just don't hit bone with them. But now, see, what I liked about the G5, the other than the Rage, is the Rage is only a two-bladed broadhead. With the G5, it's a three-bladed broadhead. And I like having the third. Here's the thing. I think the more damage you can do, the better off you're going to be. I mean, obviously.
Well, let's talk about this for a second. Where is your guys' shot place? Where's your favorite place to shoot?
I just, right. Buddy, I'm going to be real honest. I like in a rib cage. I like right behind the shoulder, just a double lung rib cage shot.
Lung shooter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like being cute, you know. And like, we're talking about these. A rib cage isn't going to stop any of the expandables. They're not hard. It'll blow through a rib cage.
As long as it's not quartering.
Right.
When you get it, and that's my drawback with the expandables. I do not like expandables. I'm not ever going to shoot one. But when you get into like the Rage Extremes, right?
Right.
You know, you're talking your 7-inch cut and whatever they are. They're huge.
They're 2.5 or something.
Okay, right? If you get into a quartering deer, quartering two or away, very much. Now that angle, it's not going to penetrate. They open up so much,
right?
They deflect.
Yeah.
So if you don't have a good broadside shot and you get into bone, which again, it's shot placement, but I'm just saying they're far less forgiving.
Right. That's the biggest.
The bigger
deal.
They cut.
I think instead of worrying about what broadhead you're shooting, you need to find one, whichever one it is, that shoots accurately out of your bow and with you, for you.
You confident. Know? Just and be it, confident with your
shot placement. I'm playing her safe. I'm just putting her right in.
Yeah, there. I know guys that try to heart shoot them all the time, and which is great.
I mean,
but
if they're close,
yeah.
I'm going to try to heart shoot them.
Yeah, right. If it's 20 yards,
now,
down a little more, but other than that, I'm raising her
which
up.
Which you got to always almost figure a deer's going to drop a little bit no matter what. Like 20 yards, the bows are fast enough now, it's probably going to hit where you're aiming. But like 30 and 40. And, like, even 50. Like, my bow's shooting actually just a hair low at 50 yards. And I was going to change it. And then I thought, no, I'm going to leave it alone. Because
you
the deer.
Play the squat.
Yeah, right. They're always going to. Like, if you're shooting a longer distance, I think you're better off to actually aim low. And I know it's hard to talk yourself into doing that. But aim, like, for a heart shot, and you'll probably double lung them most of the time.
And it also depends on how alerted they are, too.
Right, yeah. I mean, everything. And you know, the bows are faster now. They're quieter.
Well, that was another thing I was going to say on, like, the mechanicals, you know, where you guys are shooting 75, 70-pound limb bows.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to open up and deploy. And, like, my wife shooting a 50-pound bow.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
No.
Takes too much energy to try to open it.
If you're shooting less than 60 pounds, you need to be shooting a fixed-bladed broadhead.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually said, like, the 50-pound and lower, the 45 to 50-pound range, because my wife shoots 45 pounds, so I did millions of a single bevel broadhead is where it's at.
Yeah.
They said, don't worry about, because an expandable is all your kinetic energy up, so you won't even get any penetration.
Well,
my wife shot her deer with a 75-grain muzzy, and now I kind of wish she'd had a 100-grain on there. And everybody's like, "Oh yeah, she's not going to be able to shoot over 20. She don't need to shoot over 25. She's shooting 45 pounds, guys.
Right.
Yeah.
25 yards is her max range deer hunting.
I shoot 62 pounds.
Yeah.
Right.
Which everybody's coming back to the world on this whole kinetic energy. Because I can remember.
You don't need 70 or 80 pounds to kill a deer.
No. I can remember back in the early 2000s, it was the ACP. The little bitty era. You guys remember them little bitty tiny?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody had the little
micros,
and they wanted their bow to shoot 400 feet per second, and they were shooting these little bitty broadheads, and, the expandables come out, and everybody wanted them.
PSE Dream Season bows shot 9,000 feet per second.
Yeah, and then everybody's like, oh, man, my arrows are going in an inch in this deer. Or,
well, at 20 yards, you know, you'd have half an arrow hanging out.
Right.
Yeah, they're like, what's going on?
No pass-throughs at all.
No. And it's like, you got to slow that stuff down, man. So now everybody's wanting to shoot a 600-grain arrow, and they're shooting a 200-grain broadhead, and they're putting weighted brass inserts. I mean, it's just, they come around to realize, like, hey.
Everybody's getting all these new weight forward inserts.
Instead of driving a Ferrari through that thing, if you'll hit it with a semi, it'll do a lot more damage.
That's
basically what we're doing nowadays. You know, your pin gap looks goofy on your bow now. Because I'm going to tell you right now, from 30.
You got a pin gap?
Yeah, you're a single pin guy. I know.
Oh, he shoots a single pin?
Yeah. So, like, from on my bow, like, the distance between 20 and 30 are basically the same. 40 is a little more, but then, like, 40 to 50, it's noticeable. You're like, ooh, that don't. And then 60 is, like, bottom of my. That's my Hail Mary. I'm probably never going to use that pin, but it's there, you know. Stuff gets real.
I set my single pin up.
He's like, I got a Bible verse between my 50 and 60 yard pin.
You got to say the Bible verse, then you can go ahead and try to shoot the deer. Like, it's a long ways out there. 60 yards is a long ways. Probably
I put
a deer.
I put my single pin at 25 yards, and it never leaves that spot.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to shoot over 30 yards.
It makes me, the single pin thing, I get it, and it works really good. I mean, like, especially guys out west, if you're shooting 60, 70, 80 yards at these mule deer and these elk and stuff, I think a single pin is what you got to have because you can adjust that thing. Because if you was to try to take a six-pin sight inside
you'd go cross-eyed.
You couldn't do it. I mean, you know, the guy's shooting 100 yards.
I'd just pulling one backwards. Inside.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, like guys shooting 100 yards all the time, they're always using, because nowadays, like out west, them guys hunting the elk, 100 yard shot, that's normal nowadays. Isn't that crazy though? But like them guys shoot them. I watched, Josh Bomar.
Yeah.
Shot an elk the other day at 88 yards and he was just like, it was nothing. He just.
Well, what did he shoot that grizzly bear at? That thing was like
70.
80 or,
or something like that.
I mean, but that's normal to them guys, though.
That was a you heard me right. Grizzly bear.
Yeah.
I can't even see
I watched
that
a guy today. I watched a guy today on one of them short Facebook clips. They were doing a doe manage hunt. He shot him at a doe at 88 yards.
Yeah. It's normal, but these guys are set up to do that, too.
All right.
They do it all the time.
That brings me to a question, and I'll just. At what point does that become not ethical, though, honestly?
At 60 yards plus. Well, you know what, though? I say that, but these guys are deadly.
There's so many. Yeah, but okay, here's the deal. All right. I can shoot a deer at 80 yards with my bow and film it, and Matt can cue her up and put her on the deal, and I look like a hero. But how many of those 80-yard shots
you don't see the
deer wheeled just a little bit and you tenderloin shot it or whatever happened? There's so many things that can go wrong at that yardage. Is that an ethical archery shot?
I honestly don't think so.
Or have we evolved into now we're just so good, our bows are so good?
Yeah.
I'm going to answer that like this. If you shoot your bow like, say, Michael Waddell, T-Bone, and these other guys that's used to shooting 80, 100 yards, whatever, go for it. But you guys are like us. I wouldn't attempt it.
Yeah, I ain't doing it.
When you say like us, wait till you see. Okay,
we got some great footage.
We filmed a little deal, which we got to get the cards to Matt. Somebody forgot it.
Yeah.
We had a little bow shoot the other day, and maybe we just need to refilm it when we're all together.
Yeah.
Have a little bow shoot and put some velvet footage. I got some velvet footage, but we filmed a little deal, and to say our shooting wasn't the best is
40 yards was looking rough.
Yeah, the deer would probably safe at 40 yards.
It happened.
Well, you guys got 40 yard pins? I don't shoot them that far.
I got a 50 yard pin, but I've only used it once.
To be honest with you, I think the individual hunter, he knows what he can do.
Right.
Yeah. He knows.
Self-confidence.
He knows because once you start going,
out.
When you start thinking that way, when you're comfortable, if yours is 25 or 30 yards, that's probably where I'd want to be at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after that,
if you have to think about it, you probably shouldn't. Probably
not. Right.
Yeah.
Like me, I'm comfortable at 40.
Yeah. 40 is my.
I'm only going to shoot it twice at shooting target because by the third time, I'm tired of aiming for 40.
Yeah. 40, I can shoot pretty confident. I've killed a lot of deer at 40 yards.
Yeah.
I shot a button buck a couple years ago that was on the TV show, and that deer was 46 yards. And I killed it, deader than hammer. I shot that doe through the woods, that one we just watched.
And I guess a lot of it is what you get at and listen is. It's always the how far it was. I don't want to know. I don't. Better off, I don't really want to know.
No.
Right.
because I killed that turkey 80 yards.
Well,
before
and that's
10.
And here we are.
That's really not a good ethical.
Right.
Shot.
And here we are falling into that world. Yeah. I mean, Matt's guilty of that one. He shot a turkey at 72 yards with a 12 gauge.
Hey, but you know what? Nah, I'll get into that deal. I did. I shot a turkey at 72 yards. But the log I was using will do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and
I mean, it.
With in today's world with the choke tubes,
I wasn't like, well, maybe. I was like, I'm going to kill a sucker. Boom. And I killed it, you know. Yeah. So
40 yards is about perfect with that shotgun of mine.
Yeah.
Like if they get closer than that, and you can watch from the footage of me and Matt this, you were dead on, but I shot just a little. Guys, I almost missed him at 25 yards because the pattern was so tight. And when you go back and watch it on a camera in slow motion, then you really realize, you're like, oh, boy.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, I almost took his
about
head
missed
off,
it.
But I about missed him. Like,
well, you know, my tax center called me last Thursday, and he said, you ain't going to believe this. He said, you ain't got a bullet hole one in the head of this turkey. And I said, you're kidding. I said, because whenever I was skinning him, there wasn't no pellets in his breast or anything either. So
scared
you tell
him to
me.
Death.
I guess. I have no idea.
I thought he
was
going
to
ask if he's still alive. He ain't heard from you in 5-6 years.
Yeah, I just.
That's the way ours is. He just checks in every once in a while. You guys still hunting, right?
Yeah.
We're still. Which okay. Ours just quit. You know, he just up and just quit.
Yeah, retired on us.
I mean, he's like, oh, they don't ever bring anything here anymore. I just done.
So what are you doing, man? I'm working at Burger King now, man. You guys don't ever bring
anything.
Like,
you guys broke me. He's like, I can't afford to. We got to check in with Brian every once in a while and be like, hey, man, we're still deer hunting, I promise.
Hey, I got a deer, Brian.
Brian does good work. Brian's Wildlife Studio in Stratford, if anybody wants to, if you're from around in here, or even if you're not, I mean, he'll mount it for you.
And you get lucky and kill something.
Yeah. But, all right, boys, well, we're rolling in on a solid one today, so we'll wrap her up. But, hey, we're one day closer the bow season.
Marshfield bow shoot.
The Marshfield bow shoot Saturday. If you guys are listening and you're around this area, I think it's at Camp Arrowhead. Is that what you said, Trent? I believe that's what it's called. But it's the Marshfield sportsman event, I think is what they call it. If you guys want to try to get directions or something, just message me or message us on Ozark Traditions TV. I got the guy's phone number. We can get you in there. It's a heck of a deal.
I think they just meet at the high school in Marshfield.
Marshfield
and they
High
shuttle.
School. Yep. They shuttle you on a bus over there. You go over there and you shoot and they give away. Guys, they give away all kinds of stuff over there. I mean, they was giving kayaks and bows and
all kinds of giveaways. Drawings for
stuff.
I think
it's a 50 target course, right? 25 on each course.
I believe so.
Was it like $10 or something like that?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, it ain't very much.
They got food
free
there.
Free food. I mean, it will be there. I mean, that's the reason to come right there.
You can get Matt Smith's autograph
if you're lucky. If you're lucky,
might even see him smile.
No.
No.
He said no.
He said no.
I don't know, on the autograph or the smile.
Yeah,
maybe both.
Anyways, I think we'll be there. So I know we're going to be there, but come up and see us, guys. Stop and don't be strangers. Don't make me run out there and get you either.
We'll do it.
Because I'm in the mood this year. Don't even, if you even cross eye me a little, because we get them guys walk behind you and tell they want to talk to you, I'm going to go out there and grab you. That's just how it's going to be. But anyways, that's plans for this. So this Saturday. So hopefully everybody listening, well, I know it'll be the day before, but, you know.
They ain't doing nothing Saturday anyways.
No. We'll probably share something on the Facebook page.
They might as well come to that
typed
deal.
Up. But might as well come out and shoot, practice up for deer season. It's going to be here before we know it, folks. I wish it started tomorrow. But
I'm ready.
I was ready a week ago. I got this one trail camera picture, and I was like, yep, it could be deer season if it wants to be. But it ain't gonna be.
I have no pictures to speak of, so it looks like it's gonna be a long season.
Ah, you say that every year, boys. But all right, well,
my goal is to lay the hammer down on the first weekend.
There you go. That's my goal too. So, but anyways, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys on the next one.
The Ozark Traditions TV podcast crew would appreciate it if you leave a 5-star rating and subscribe on your favorite podcast apps so you don't miss an episode. And also, be sure to check out our hunting episodes on our YouTube channel, and don't forget to subscribe. While you're on the web, Head on over to our Facebook page and click on the follow and like button to see what the Ozark Traditions TV crew is up to. Ozark Traditions TV would like to thank you for joining in to this week's podcast. Be sure to tune in on our next weekly podcast as we bring the outdoors inside. From all of us at Ozark Traditions TV, we thank you for listening. And remember, if you see us out in God's country, stop us. We'd like to meet you.